That gets you the 15. It wasn't inside the opening. This is the speedy man, Xavier Worthy, the fastest man to the end zone right away. His first touch, a Kansas City touchdown.
This song is called Shut Up by Blink-182.
Yes.
And to anyone that still thinks that an NFL general manager needs to worry about what another team is doing instead of trying to improve their own roster,
there's the door.
Shut up.
Oh, there we go.
Had to wait for the drop on that one. That was perfect. Evan knew exactly what I was doing there, and he turned it up. That's some producer stuff right there. That's how you read your host. Welcome back, hour number two of Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Calley here with you, and I have had it!
I think we both have. We were talking about this yesterday, and it's to the point now where, okay, in April at first, you say what you want, but even at that point, I was out on it. And here we are still.
Here we are revisiting this.
Mm-hmm. Use your aggressive feelings, boy.
Oh Palpy, no. I will.
Let the hate flow through you.
Oh, Palpy, you have no idea the kind of hate that is in my body right now.
Do it.
Oh, I'm doing it. I will do it. And here's the thing. For those that have listened long enough, for better or for worse, you like me or you don't, you know that whatever I'm doing is from the heart. I'm an emotional, sometimes idiotic host that has a microphone for some reason. I'm grateful for it every week. So whatever you're going to get from me is not reactionary because it's going to drive in calls. It's not here to get people riled up. It's not like ESPN debate shows. I mean everything that I say.
Right.
For better or for worse, no matter what kind of trouble that gets me into or how dumb it makes me look. And I am sick of people worrying about a team that the Bills have happened to beat a couple of times now within the past few years. It's just a matter of when they lose to them. If you're worried, if a general manager is worried about what another team is doing, instead of solely focusing on improving their own team, that's not an NFL general manager.
You're right. I'm looking at the record.
That's not an NFL general manager. You know who's upset about that? Fans. Who are not general managers.
There's a reason for that.
There's a reason for it. Because your focus should always be on making your team better. Oh, but they always lose to Kansas City. They don't always lose to Kansas City. You know who they've always lost to so far in the past few years? Cincinnati.
Jacksonville?
Jacksonville for some strange reason.
Yeah, right. I'm looking at the record right now. Since 2020, the Bills have won 3 and the Chiefs have won 4. Granted, divisional games, two of them.
Two of them in the year of 2020, the Bills were not ready.
Exactly.
They were beginning their progression.
Yep.
So ever since 2021, when the Bills were for real and they showed it.
They're 3-2.
It's just when they've lost.
That's the lingering thought, right? 13
and
seconds.
And when they've lost?
Wide right. This chunk.
And not to mention, when they've lost, they've been classics.
Yeah, it's not like they got stomped. The last time they got stomped by the Chiefs was the 2020 AFC Championship.
Correct.
And that's because, like you said, the Bills were just beginning their climb, right?
They were beginning the ascent. They were starting to show people, hey, we're here.
Yeah.
But we're not here yet. And that's okay.
Right. And the Chiefs were that team already. They had Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. Those guys were there and playing well. Since then, you're on the winning side of that scale. But again, it's the timing of the wins, like you said, that stays with everyone. That's why everyone gets frustrated. But if you think an NFL GM has fan mentality and is thinking, oh, I got to screw the Chiefs out of this pick. I got to do something here. That's not what happens.
I got to take the player that the Chiefs are going to pick so that they don't pick them.
It's not a fantasy draft where you take someone's pick for trade value. Like, that's not what happens.
Right. Oh, and they did make a trade.
Yeah.
They got a third round pick out of this. If Dwayne Carter makes any one play, I'm going to become so insufferable to you people that it's going to be hilarious.
And here's the thing. Like Bruce said, like we said yesterday, prepping for this show,
Yeah, you and I talked extensively about this.
Even if the Bills didn't trade with them, they're still taking Keon Coleman where they're at, and the Chiefs are still ending up with Xavier Worthy at pick 32.
Yeah.
They moved up one pick. It's not going to change the face of the earth.
Yeah. You got a third-round pick to move down four spots.
Yes.
That's genius-level stuff.
Because
that's
you value. Didn't even have a third-round pick.
That's value.
Yes.
That's making your team better. And if the picks pan out, they pan out. If they don't pan out, they don't pan out. That's on another thing. That's drafting, developing. That's a different story. However, we're in this gotcha world at this point of sports media that, oh, no, the Bills let the Chiefs get Xavier Worthy. So did 27 other teams that passed on him. If he's so great, he should have been the first overall pick. Enough with this nonsense.
Here's the thing. He ran a 4-2-1.
Cool.
He was not. He was not going to be a first-round receiver until that happened.
Yeah.
He was not on any list. Some people had him, I've seen.
Right.
Zach Jones spoke highly of him.
But
big Texas fan.
He's a big Texas guy.
Right?
So we knew about him.
Right. But until that 4-2-1 happened, I didn't really see him in any conversation as a first-round wide receiver.
He was a fringe at that point.
Yes.
Fringe at best.
And where did they get him?
On the fringe. At the fringe of the first round.
What are we talking about?
So guess what? The Chiefs might have taken him anyway, even if he wasn't like supposed to be the caliber first-round receiver. It's because he ran that 4-2-1
right.
That it's a bigger deal to people now. And all I'm going to say is this. You guys are all trying to essentially dunk on the Bills. You're dunking on the team that you're trying to root for a guy who had three targets and one carry.
Mm-hmm.
One of those targets, the Ravens legitimately forgot that they were playing one high safety. And that's a man coverage tactic. Marlon Humphrey just let Xavier Worthy wander off on the sideline by himself.
Yeah.
And the only player that could have screwed that up is Kadarius Toney. Because he would have dropped the pass.
Yeah.
On the reverse, someone tweeted to me about next-gen stats saying there was a 5% chance of a touchdown on that play. Except, 1 second later, there are four Ravens already behind you based on play design. And there are seven Chiefs blockers in front of him.
Yeah. Yeah.
They outnumbered the Ravens 7-4 on that point.
Mm-hmm. If they didn't get that touchdown, that would have been a problem.
Every
actually.
Professional wide receiver would have scored that play.
Curtis Samuel. Khalil Shakir, any one of the Bills wide receivers would have scored. I'm sorry.
Ready? Let's put a sore spot on it. Diggs probably scores that too.
Because Gabe Davis scores. Cole Beasley scores. Any of those guys.
Because there's that many blockers
out
there.
You should score at a 7-4 advantage.
That's like,
if you don't, you have an offensive line and blocking issue.
That's a blocking scheme that happens that I wish would have happened like with any of like the Isaiah McKenzie plays.
Right. Because he had speed.
He had that speed. So, yeah.
They're looking for their next Tyreek Hill, and they found it.
I brought in the compare of Isaiah McKenzie. Are we going to get upset about that? Because if so, I'm going to call it out anyway. I'm going to call everyone out on this. And while I do that, it's time to get connected to our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Bruce and Derby, you waited patiently through the break. Thank you for doing so. Welcome to Sports Talk Saturday. We're in the trenches of the Worthy Wars.
Yeah. Hey, that whole comment you had about the GMs, that was, couldn't have said it any better myself. None of us are GMs. We don't know what they know. So with that said, there's a reason why we didn't go after Worthy. I am 100% comfortable with the Keon Coleman pick. And my whole thing is availability. He's a big, thick dude. This Worthy guy, I want to see what happens after five or six games. Are they going to throw the ball across the middle to him? And is he going to get, like, trucked by a linebacker that weighs, you know, 80 pounds more than him? How is he going to hold up? I don't think very well. You know, it's not always about, you know, they always say speed kills, yeah, but availability is everything, you know? I'm comfortable with the pick that we had with that guy. I did not want Worthy. He wasn't, like you said, on anybody's radar to go as a first-round draft pick as a wide receiver. And the other thing you just said, too, there's a handful, more than a handful of receivers that could have scored that touchdown on that whatever jet sweep play that they had. So, I don't know. I'm happy with what Bean did. I think Coleman's going to be an asset, and I think he's going to be around probably a lot longer than this little guy. With that, I'll listen to your comments.
Bruce, thank you. Appreciate that.
And availability is the best ability. He's absolutely right.
And the thing is we don't know if Worthy is injury prone.
No.
There are going to be concerns about him going over the middle and taking a beating. And if there's any coach better at scheming that sort of thing, it'd be Andy Reid. However, one night a career does not make.
No.
And the Bills didn't even have a chance to let Coleman step onto the turf when we've got people, fans, and media members within our city saying, oh, you guys really let the Chiefs get Xavier Worthy.
Mind you, what quarterback was Keon Coleman playing with for 90% of the 98% of the preseason?
Mitchell Trubisky.
Yes, and
who actively tried to kill him.
Yes.
Twice.
He played defense more than he played as a wide receiver in the preseason because he was breaking up passes that were about to be picked.
Also, if I do recall, during training camp, or at the beginning of training camp, Bills fans even got to take a little bit of a victory dance about Xavier Worthy when he got knocked around by two Chiefs players in training camp.
Mm-hmm.
It was a viral clip. The guy goes on a slant route, gets knocked over, gets back up, and the linebacker just forearm shivers him back to the ground.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you hit the weight room, kid. So we had our fun with that too. And now the guy makes two plays before Coleman even steps on the field. And it's the wrong decision? Because Marlon Humphrey forgot they were in cover one? Because they had great blocking where most pro receivers are going to score on that jet sweep?
It's ridiculous. I just... The whole pity party, well, we didn't get Xavier Worthy, really is like, are you watching? You've only seen Xavier Worthy in an NFL setting, right?
We haven't seen
Keon Coleman at all. He hasn't stepped on the field for a game time scenario outside of the preseason where they're not even running their playbook.
Exactly.
You don't even know how he's going to be utilized.
We saw Xavier Worthy in the first meaningful game. Can we wait until we see Keon Coleman in the first meaningful game?
And freak out if he drops a pass. Or
let alone what Bruce Nolan said to us in the last hour, can we get through a full season first? Can we not resort back to the same crappy commentary from April?
Mm-hmm.
Where I also lost my marbles and Sal had people in the media pool saying, who's hosting right now? Is he okay? No, I'm not. Evan was here sitting with me in this. I was losing my marbles about this because it's already too premature. And it's still too premature, even though Xavier Worthy played his first game. Guess who didn't?
Yeah.
The entirety of the Buffalo Bills.
And here's the thing. The Chiefs have been looking for that speedy replacement for Tyreek Hill for a long time since he left, right?
Right. But they also could afford to lose him because they traded him.
Exactly. So he's a plus. At the end of the day, I'm trying to keep my cool right now.
Nope.
So I'm
already gone.
So at the end of the day, Keon Coleman fits what this Bills offense is being built for right now. Do you see the size of the wide receivers, including him, compared to years past?
Yeah.
They're not looking for a little guy who's going to get arm shoved back to the ground. Truthfully.
Ready?
He ran a 4.6.
Let's look at the Bills' wide receiver core when they were heading into draft night.
Khalil.
What did they need? They needed an X receiver. What was Xavier Worthy's best fit going to be? Slot.
Mm-hmm. You already have your slot receiver.
You already had two slot receivers. Because there was very much a chance that, well, Curtis Samuel's going to get some snaps inside. KJ Hamler, if he sticks on the roster, would get snaps inside. You're going to take another one of them?
Curtis Samuel, I mean, he's going to essentially be your team's Debo Samuel. He's going to be doing both. He's going to be getting running reps.
Yeah.
On trick plays.
You have him. You already signed that player.
Yeah. That's why the whole Ladd McConkey take was also really frustrating to me, because why would you get another slot receiver and not someone who's going to be your X receiver,
you
like you said?
An X receiver.
Yeah, you needed a big guy who's going to be able to make contested catches. And the whole lazy route running, you haven't even seen him in a game. I don't want to hear any of that crap.
It may not be lazy. It may just be unpolished. And you know what you can fix? Technique.
Look at Josh Allen.
You know what you can't fix? That size.
Mm-hmm.
That ability to go up and get it.
Right.
Those are things that come naturally to a player. Like, of course, ready? Xavier Worthy's speed is a counterpoint to that. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to hear counterpoints. Why? Because that's the point of debates. That's the point of actual discussion. But I'm not going to hear this dismissive crap about Bills made a mistake letting Kansas City get a player. They didn't let them do anything. The Bills took something from Kansas City for them to make their decision.
Yeah.
On a player that the Bills weren't going to take anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills grabbed a third round pick. If anything, they made the Chiefs pay to get their asset.
They did.
Which is better than every other team did this year.
Mm-hmm. The Bills put a check on their box.
The Bills got a piece of meat off of the bone for it.
They did. And somewhere where they needed it.
Ready? Say that this goes in the worst case Ontario, okay? say it goes the worst case scenario here of Xavier Worthy is exactly what everyone fears and becomes the next Tyreek Hill. If Dwayne Carter is a roster player within the next 3 years, like staying on the roster, that's more contribution than every other NFL team did. Oh, but the Bills traded that pick and let Kansas City get him. If the Bills didn't take Xavier Worthy, which is the only way to stop the Chiefs from taking Xavier Worthy, mm-hmm. there's the answer.
Right, and you're not helping your specific offensive scheme.
And you're not making your team better in the way you needed it to.
You're creating a position battle where it doesn't need to be. That's what you're doing.
You're grabbing a surplus good.
Yeah, where you had a need in a position that you filled.
All right, Dave and Tonawanda, welcome to Sports Talk Saturday.
Hey, thank you for taking my call, gentlemen. I was listening to the last show that was on here, and they were talking about the coach of the year. Now, with everything that's basically going on with the Bills and everybody basically sitting here stating that they don't think that the Bills are going to basically have a decent year this year because of the turnaround of players, if McDermott was to, out of nowhere, switch this team completely around and turn this team into what we all know this team can be, do you guys basically think that Coach McDermott can still be on that talk of Coach of the Year?
Yeah, yeah. I think that not only, but also based on the narratives, based on stories, because, like, here's the thing. Reporters love stories. That's what their background is.
I mean, they write stories, so.
They write stories. So when one's delivered to them on a silver platter, nice and shiny, Coach of the Year for Sean McDermott, maybe, if they get to 12 wins or more, that also means Josh Allen is probably being force-fed an MVP.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. Here's the thing. They win the division. They're a top three seed in the AFC after being laughed out pretty much and saying, hey, this team's nowhere near where they've been the past few years.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers is going to come off a speed bridge Achilles repair and actually take them down. And they do that. Both, for those awards, both of them are pretty much locks, yeah. I would say, at that point. Brian Daboll won with the Giants, and he just got to the playoffs. That's all it took, right?
Yeah.
And the narrative right now is the Bills.
Kind of roster, but no. Yeah, if they're, say, the two seed in the AFC.
Again, like last year, they beat the Dolphins, they beat the Jets, they beat the Patriots, and they actually win big games against the Texans, Kansas City.
They'll have to get there. If they're going to get to 12 wins.
Yeah, you got to do that.
Like, in order to get to those awards, they will have earned it.
Yeah.
That's the other point.
But I don't think it's an outlandish thought at all for McDermott to be coach of the year if that happens.
All right, we keep going here. Allie in Denver, welcome to Sports Talk Saturday.
Hey there, fellas. Thank you so much for having me on. I was listening this morning. I'm from Wyoming, and I'm driving up to go to a Wyoming game right now. So I was listening to you guys, and I had to call in about the Xavier Worthy thing. So I'm a high school teacher. I teach in Denver. So a lot of Broncos fans, a lot of Chiefs fans, you know, just because of where we're located. And I have a policy of, like, if you're going to have, like, post-game debrief during class, you have to have, like, a serious, you know, well-thought-out sports take. Otherwise, like, I will shut it down immediately because, you know, they like to dunk on me for being a Wyoming fan. I mean, I'm from Wyoming, so, like, I'm a very loyal fan. And then, obviously, you know, love the Bills and this and that. And when I tell you yesterday the amount of unserious takes that were coming into my classroom about how the Bills were so stupid to let Xavier Worthy go and this and that. And I was like, I don't know if you've ever watched how our offense works. Do you know who we have on our? And I was just, I told the screener, I was like, it was the most unserious day of post-game debrief from Thursday Night Football that I've ever had. And I just want to say that, like, people that are talking like that, like, you have the sports takes of my sweet angel 15-year-olds who don't read anything. Like, please be for real. Be for real. So I, when you were talking this morning, I was like, heck yeah. Like, that was my entire day yesterday. Thank you for, you know, speaking the truth, because, like, some of the stuff that was coming out of their mouth, I was like, y'all are just wild. Y'all are wild.
Allie, I don't think I could have said it any better than the you have takes of these lovely high schoolers.
And, like, they're great. Like, we have a fantasy football league that a bunch of, like, the teachers, like, play in. And so they, like, you know, bless their hearts. But it's like, have you ever read or paid attention to, like, scheme or, you know, the types of defenses that we face in our conference? Like, oh my gosh. Like, the idea of Xavier Worthy trying to go up against a Jets defense twice a year, like, he's going to get cooked. He's so small. And they were, yeah, anyways, I could go on and on. But had to call in. I appreciate you, you know, spreading the good news here about the fact that Keon Coleman is going to be great and fine. So,
Allie, appreciate it. Enjoy the game there with Wyoming. And thank you for saying something that I never would have been able to be able to say myself there. That's top rope stuff right there.
Well, you can keep that in your back pocket from I'm a 10-year high school teacher, and that's about how serious that sports take is 15-year-old boys who don't read a whole lot. So feel free to re-rack that as you need.
All right, Allie, appreciate
that.
Thank
you.
Thank you for that call.
That's it.
That's ammunition right
and
there.
And here's the thing.
That's, you know what that is? That's like... So one of the best games I've ever played was Uncharted 2.
Okay.
And you have to fight a tank. And constantly you have to, like in this fight with this tank, you have to dodge the fire and then pick up one-by-one RPGs to fire at this thing
right.
and actually take it down.
Yeah, it's just...
That's what that was.
Mm-hmm.
Allie's take was one of those RPGs that's going to take that tank down.
Yeah. No, you're right. And a loyal Wyoming fan, right? Assuming she's seen all of Josh Allen's glory years there, right?
Yes.
What you said, you can coach Keon Coleman's route running, right? You can
coach technique.
Josh Allen is the best example of that. From Wyoming
Guy was technically
to where
unmasked.
He is now. He was Brett Favre times 100. He was just ripping it out there, right? He came out of college with under 60% completion percentage. And like, look at him now.
Anyone that plays college football 25 right now?
That's how I play quarterback. Like, I throw 500 yards a game, and it's eight picks. Like, that's just what happens. That's what happens.
Exactly. So
it technique can be coached, but Josh Allen's the best example of what could come for Keon Coleman, not position-wise, but player-wise.
And again, the main crux of this still remains. I don't care what Keon Coleman turns into.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what Xavier Worthy turns into. I don't care what Dwayne Carter turns into.
Right.
I do care because I will be very petty about that.
Yeah, yeah. You'll just hold that over everyone's
However,
head.
The main point of this is, if a National Football League general manager ever thinks the way that that comment is presented, get fired yesterday
mm-hmm.
from your front office job.
Yeah, literally. You're thinking like a fantasy manager. You are an NFL general manager.
Yeah.
Like, that's ridiculous.
That's exactly what this is.
I mean, you're absolutely right, though. Allie's take. Bunch of 15-year-old high schoolers.
Yes.
That's what they're saying. That's awesome.
Get in on the Worthy Wars. 803-0550 is the number to call. Derek Kramer, Joe Callie, Evans on the board. You're listening to WGR.
I think everyone's just excited, get a normal routine, game week. Spent so many hours, days, months here over the spring, summer, camp. Now that the first week's finally here, it's just excitement. Ready to get out there and kind of fly around, show what we've been working on for so long. But I think the general vibe is just adrenaline, excitement.
The biggest problem with the Worthy Wars here is this. It's taking away a little bit of the focus from, hey, the Bills actually play a football game this week. But sometimes you got to get in the trenches and do the dirty work. Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly, Evan DePasquale here for you on a Sports Talk Saturday here. Bills play the Cardinals, 1 o'clock kickoff tomorrow. We get things started at 7 a.m. Yours truly will be back on the mic for breakfast with the Bills and then Bills game day. 8 to 10 countdown to kickoff from there, 11 o'clock on, and then of course Chris Brown, Eric Woods, Sal Capaccio on the call from the Northwest Bank broadcast booth for Bills and Cardinals starting at 1 o'clock. 803-0550 is the number to call. If you want to keep things going here, if you want to just talk about Bills Cardinals, if you're going to the game and you just want to feel the excitement, all of it's on the table here for you, no matter what, here for the next 30 minutes or so, because we've got Carl Jones from WIVB joining us at 1 o'clock, and then we can get back to everyone's calls again to wrap up the show. Hitting it up on the tweet sheet, Brian tweeting in, the most important take regarding the game tomorrow is the fact it's going to be cool enough to make a pot of chili and feel good about eating it. The elite season's here, whether you like it or not. It's absolutely that chili-eaten season. Captain Kevman tweets in, there were 27 or so other teams that could have taken Worthy. Why is it on the Bills? They clearly didn't want him.
I feel like nobody would have had an issue with this if they took Coleman at, what was it, where were they picking, 27? 28?
Yeah.
They would have had no problem if they were picking at, if they took like Coleman at 28 instead of at 33. That's the thing that gets people upset, is that they traded with the Chiefs and they're like, oh, the last time they traded with the Chiefs, they got Patrick Mahomes and he's already got 3 Super Bowl rings.
You know what? The Bills got Joe Andreessen. Take that, Kansas City. You let him go for free. And you had to pay us a 3rd-round pick. Take that. Let's keep things going here. Rob in Kansas, welcome to Sports Talk Saturday. How's it going?
Good. Thanks, Derek and Joe. How are you guys?
Oh, we're hyped, man. We're hyped. I spent the entire break dancing to War. So, you know, like, let's go here. I'm in.
Yeah, hey, that's a great way to spend your Saturday. That's what I have to say. But, the reason I'm calling, man, is I live in Kansas. I'm surrounded by Chiefs fans everywhere. They have a slew of bandwagon fans, and now you've just got arrogant Swifties all over the place that's just making it almost unbearable to live here. On Friday I went into work and I was wearing my Bills jersey, and, you know, there's always just trash talk that happens. And the reality is, like, what am I going to say, right? Like, you guys won Super Bowl twice in a row, got 3 Super Bowls the last, 5 years, something like that. So I can't really talk trash. I was sitting in a sports bar when 13 seconds happened. And I have to say, most of the diehard Chiefs fans, they are really pretty generous fans. They're actually really nice. When 13 seconds happened, literally I had Chiefs fans walking up to me and being like, I am so sorry. Like, I am so sorry. I can't even imagine what that feels like. So I appreciate it, but I think Bills fans have a problem with just the Chiefs living rent-free in our heads, man. Like, listen, like, they are, in my opinion, arguably one of the best teams in league history. Like, they have one of, if not the best quarterback in league history. And in my opinion, I personally think Belichick is not nearly as good as Andy Reid as a head coach, because you look at Andy Reid, man, and he had tons of success with multiple teams, with multiple quarterbacks, and that's not even something that Bill Belichick can say he has on his resume. So, in my opinion, I think that we just need to lighten up a little bit as Bills fans. You know, we're going up against arguably the best tandem quarterback coach in league history, but the one thing that we do have is we can still poop all over the Miami Dolphins. So, Bills Mafia.
Rob, appreciate it. Thank you for the call. And it's got to be tough being in enemy territory like that. But at the same time, yeah, it is unfortunately what it is. You're chasing Kansas City, but that doesn't mean they have to live rent-free in your heads. And that's exactly what this is. When you said that, Rob, I also remembered the article I wrote about this whole thing on May 3rd. Of this year. So it's been this long and we're bringing it all back. Let's keep things going though here. We go to Arnie in East Aurora. Arnie, welcome to Sports Talk Saturday.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. As a 36-year season ticket holder of the Bills, I just want to make a response to all the dopes that are criticizing the trade to get Coleman and this Worthy thing. Everything that shines is not gold. Go Penn State. Go Bills. Have a great day.
Arnie, love it. Short, sweet, to the point. Thank you. Appreciate that. It's just, we're thinking too much about it, guys. And this is why I had to do an entire segment on this, because, like, what are we doing? We don't need to keep putting the brain power into all this. Let's keep firing here. Let's go to Tuff in Buffalo. What's going on, Tuff?
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, it's Tuff, man. I've been a Bills fan since 84. To me, it's not about Worthy. It's about Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. And who was the closest team to get past them was my Buffalo Bills. And it wasn't about the players we had. It's just a couple decisions. My thing is, why would you get rid of Diggs when all you had to do was add a player or add someone on defense, which we saw from the playoff game? So that's what's making me nervous, you know what I'm saying? Because we got to chase this guy who's in the way of all the great quarterbacks that's in the AFC and us. And we so close, we're just a couple decisions away. Not players, but I hope we do good. So what's your take on that?
All right, Tuff, I appreciate that, man. It's a hard thing to have to deal with chasing them and how well they've done. Adding to the wide receiver room was kind of the point of the offseason, and I mean, they did do it eventually. It did also cost Stephon Diggs, but we also don't know what they're going to look like. They haven't taken the field yet. That's the other thing. We're 24 hours away from them finally taking the field, and I already had to be driven stir crazy about something. Let's keep it going. Jared and Wilson, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing today?
I'm having a day, man. How about you?
Oh, same right here. I'm right there with you. I don't know how anybody can look at Worthy and say, oh, this guy is going to be great. He doesn't look like he's in the NFL. He looks like he's about to run the New York City Marathon. I mean, the guy is just small.
I will say this. Like, we can't dismiss what he did do, which was, you know, he has that elite speed. He does have, like, these things to him that makes him a pro talent. It's just, we don't need to overreact on the two plays that happened to go to the end zone for him. It's not like this is just this all-time instant regret. It was one game, and the Bills haven't even played yet. So it is something that is, he still could be a good player. And that's not the crux of the issue. It's not the player himself. It's the mentality that we're fighting amongst ourselves all over again, and I'm no less guilty of it. I'm doing an entire hour segment of this thing. But that doesn't mean that we need to freak out that the Chiefs got better and it was the Bills' fault. No. The Bills are focused on getting better for the Bills. They're not worrying about the Kansas City Chiefs, and neither should any of you.
Okay.
We go to Brian in Arcade. Brian, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Yeah, Alien Rob. Sorry, reality check. Maybe you enjoy Jamison Crowder, Deontay Hardy, Emmanuel Sanders, calling back Cole Beasley and John Brown out of retirement. Jake Kumerow, you want some more players? This isn't all just about Worthy. It's about the investment in the offense. Since 2020, yes, Bean, Gold Star, you got Stephon Diggs. Then guess what's happened, everybody? You stopped adding elite players. And look at the 4 years of evidence. This isn't just an instant reaction. 4 years of evidence. AFC championship game. Divisional, divisional, divisional. Where are you getting stopped? It's a pretty clear line. It's now year 7. Allen has no reliable deep threat. None. Okay?
How do you know that?
About Curtis. How do I know that?
How do you know that? It's not a guarantee that they don't have a deep threat. It's not a guarantee.
Who is it? Who can take the top off this deep? Who can take the top off of a defense? Curtis Samuel, the number 3 wide receiver in Washington? That's who we're going to go with? Matt Collins, career high, 600 yards receiving. Okay, yeah. I'm sure he can get behind people.
Brian, I'm sorry they didn't trade for Rome Odunze. I'm sorry they didn't sign DeAndre Hopkins. It's not about name chasing. All right? They picked a wide receiver with their first pick. They invested in the position. Khalil Shakir is a selection that they have made, and he looks like he's going to be the next player here. Dalton Kincaid is part of the receiving core. I'm sorry they didn't trade for Malik Nabers. I'm sorry they didn't grab 5'10" Xavier Worthy. And you put Emmanuel Sanders into a group of flotsam and jetsam telling me that you don't know what you're talking about. That's it. You're looking for names. Go ahead, laugh, Joe.
Sorry, I was just, you know, setting up the Bison broadcast on our sister station. I didn't know what I walked back into, but I understand now because someone's name chasing. So,
who's the deep threat?
Who is the deep threat?
Whoever's drawn up.
Yeah. You're
They're whoever, NFL whoever's, players.
Whoever's the red line in the Madden playbook.
I'm sorry that Curtis Samuel doesn't run a 4.2140.
That's the only redeeming factor for Xavier Worthy.
It is.
Like, that's the only thing that put him in the first round.
Oh, by the way, how did he score his touchdown? It wasn't beating someone one-on-one over the top.
No, it was 7-on-4. It was blown coverage. It was
everything. It was Marlon Humphrey forgot what defense was being run on a play where Gabe Davis, who had bagels every other week, would happen to have scored on that play.
Yeah, Gabe Davis was a blocking tight end. That's what he was as a wide
receiver. Last year. I mean, he was making fun contributions all throughout.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, my thing is that the plays that Worthy scores on, it just, and it's not just about Xavier Worthy. That was the point of the offseason. Brian does have that point. But at the same time, how do you know they don't have a deep threat? Because none of them have a 4.2140 time? You don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
So stop. And I was not about to hear anything about, oh, Emmanuel Sanders or throwing Cole Beasley or John Brown, who were meaningful signings, investments into the position that helped Josh Allen grow. Get out of here with that.
And they weren't trading for Rome Odunze or Malik, like, Neighbors. That wasn't happening.
I'm sorry they didn't go big name hunting. Because that, at the end of the day, is what this is all about. We get attracted to names.
Yeah, and that's all the distaste is about, when you should just look at the player and what they contribute. But truthfully, the names mean nothing. DeAndre Hopkins, did that mean something at one time?
Get me off the damn wide receiver train. I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm blowing up the bridge.
You got a Polar Express. You got to detach the caboose.
I'm blowing up the bridge.
Yeah.
Because it's turned into something that it was not supposed to. Yeah. This is just... this was the part that I knew was going to happen. The other side of the shoe.
Yeah. We had a good first...
We had a good first segment of it.
They had them in the first half.
Don't go ahead and say to the other callers it's a reality check when it's not.
I'm sorry. Just wait until Xavier Worthy has a bad game. Just wait. The name chasing is so obnoxious, so ridiculous, so tiring.
Yes.
I don't want to hear about it anymore. That's all everyone said. If you look at Bill's Twitter, it's just, oh, imagine if the Bills had this wide receiver. Imagine if. I don't want to live in a fantasy land. We have Keon Coleman. We have Curtis Samuel. We have Khalil Shakir. We have Dalton Kincaid, who's a big slot receiver.
Jam just tweeted in. Curtis Samuel ran a 4.31.
Yeah.
That sounds like take the top off speed to me.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, it wasn't a world record. Sorry, guys.
And I'm sorry, Keon Coleman did have speed in another combine area, the gauntlet.
Mm-hmm.
He did what no one else did in that combine.
Yeah, I just...
So I don't want to hear it.
And they had to reinvest in the entire position.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they had to do this year. Khalil Shakir is the only holdover.
Yeah, because he's shown the experiment isn't over. What he's fast and
no,
he's
no,
a
what
slot
I'm saying
receiver.
Is they had to reinvest in the entire position.
Yeah. Aside which
means,
from him.
Which means they're not going to be done with it.
No. No. And I mean, I've seen people say, tank this year, go for a number one receiver in the first five picks next year.
All right. We got to get to
a
break.
Yeah. I'm not even
Carl Jones up at 1 o'clock here from WIVB. He'll be joining us here. Derek Kramer, Joe Cali, Evans on the board. You're listening to Sports Talk Saturday. So I might have went a little overboard there. But That's kind of how irritated I'm getting about this. But before we go, Carl Jones, he's going to be coming up next with us here from WIVB. He'll be joining us to preview some Bills Cardinals. But real quick, before we do that, Scott, we've got a little bit of time here for you. Got to make it quick. How you doing? Welcome to Sports Talk Saturday. Scott, we got you. Going three times, Scott. All right, Scott, you lost your chance. All right, sorry about that, man. You know what? Timing is everything sometimes.
Still on hold. If the phone connection gets back, we might be able to get to you later.
If he hangs in through us talking with Carl, we'll be able to get back to him.
Yes, sir.
All right, anyway. So we got to get moving here. Carl Jones, WIVB, joins us coming up next. He had a nice discussion with Brian Clark, who did say an odd sentence, but about Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, the appreciation thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was the follow-up that was weird from Ryan Clark. Like, he was trying to more or less emphasize, like, these guys were that good, and I don't think there's no level of appreciation that would be there to match it.
Right.
But he said it incorrectly, and, you know, that's how it goes. Hey, you know what? It is what it is. But Carl is one of the newer faces in the Buffalo crowd, and definitely one of the brighter ones that I'm seeing so far. So I'm really excited to talk to Carl. Looking forward to this. Let's have some fun talking Bills Cardinals with Carl Jones coming up next here on Sports Talk Saturday.